Welcome to the San Luis Obispo County Planning Commission meeting of July 14th. Please join our roll call, please.
Commissioner Rose?
Here.
Commissioner Christie?
Here.
Commissioner Doreen Liberto Blanc?
Present.
Commissioner Rappa?
Here.
Chairman Mouskow? Please let the record reflect that Chairman Mouskow is absent from the meeting.
Okay, please. That's fine, no problem. Please join us in a flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. The next item on our agenda today is an opportunity for the public to provide comment on any item that is, or any issue that's not on the agenda today. And we do ask that if anybody would like to speak on any item that is on the agenda today, or if you'd like to speak on any item that's not on and you'd like to address the Planning Commission, please fill out a request to speak form. These are located outside of the chamber. And please fill this out and bring it forward and give it to the Planning Commission Secretary. I have no request to speak form under this item, under public comment period, but is there anybody that would like to speak on any item that is not on the agenda? Please come forward. Okay, seeing nobody. Do we have somebody? Okay, please come forward and state your name for the record.
Right here?
Yes.
Good morning. My name is Richard Sadowski. I'm a member of the Central Coast Ocean Outfall Group, and I'm here to speak on basically about the Planning Commission to have not such a myopic view when they view a watershed or a viewshed, and take a look at a when they look at plans to look at it more holistically. I would like to present staff with a copy of Mr. Ricano's ABC plan for the Los Osos, Morro Bay watershed, and it's a regional plan for a regional solution, and it has to do with the treatment plant and elimination of the 301H waiver in Morro Bay and Cayucas. It's also, you could also view it at stopthewaiver.com, and you could also view it at joeylittleshell@yahoo.com. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Is there anybody else that would like to address the Planning Commission? Okay, seeing no one else, we'll now go on to our next item, which is planning staff updates. John?
John Efrat, planning staff. And actually, I think that since we have a study session this afternoon where we'll be talking about smart growth principles, I'll hold off any comments that I have until then. I don't have any.
Help to move the democracy and the planning process forward. And so I know that it will continue this way. So let's go on to our...
Doreen, before we go on, I just have to say I think I speak for many, many, many people when I say you will be sorely missed on this commission. You have been an exemplary public servant. You bring incredible skill and talent and passion and commitment to this job. And I, for one, will be very sorry to see you go, but I want to thank you for all the public service that you have done on this commission, and commend Supervisor Bianchi for having the wisdom to appoint you, and we're confident that she'll find a fabulous replacement, but you leave big shoes to fill, so thank you.
I would like to agree with that. One radio commentator says they dittos to that.
And I'd like, on behalf of the department staff, to thank you as well. It's been a long working relationship, and I want you to know you really made a difference, and we're going to miss you.
Thank you. Okay, let's go on. Our next item is the consent agenda. Any other commissioners like to pull any item off the consent agenda?
I did have... a couple of items. I just had a very quick question on item A1. this is a time extension for a traffic map, and it says that the time extensions are granted for a maximum of 5 years. But as I understand it, this was originally granted in 2000. So did I read that wrong, or are we bumping up against the deadline here for this track map extension?
I'd like to respond to that, if I may. Warren Hogue, Department of Planning and Building. It actually was originally approved in 1999. It's the original approval period is for 2 years. Then they can ask for 5 one-year time extensions, and this would be the last.
Okay, so we're actually, it's 7 years from the initial date of approval.
Correct.
Okay, even though it's maximum of 5 years past the initial approval. Okay, well, that answers that question. Math has never been my strong point.
That's all right.
Okay, any other questions or comments, or do we have a motion on the consent agenda?
I'd move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
First, second, any discussion? No discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll now go on to our first public hearing item. Could we please have an introduction of the item?
Hearing number one is a request by the County of San Luis Obispo to, number one, update and amend the Cambria and San Simeon Acres community plan portions of the North Coast Area Plan, two, to amend the Cambria Design Plan, three, to amend the Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance, file number LRP 2004-00024, Supervisorial District 2, Martha Nieder, Project Manager.
Okay, what I need to do is, as I mentioned at the last hearing, I submitted a letter to the Fair Political Practice Commission and asked them to submit a written statement on what portions of the plan that I could vote on. I still have not heard back from them, and therefore I need to step down on this item, and I will turn the hearing over to Commissioner Rose.
Okay, where's the gavel? Just joking. Don't really need it. We have an introduction from staff.
Good morning, Commissioners. Martha asked me to come today that some questions came up at your last hearing regarding the county's growth allocation list versus the Cambria Community Services District water will serve waiting list. And I guess it is as simple as saying that they are two separate items. The CCSD list is a water waiting list. The county's list is not a water list because the county does not have any purview to provide water or sewer service in Cambria. It is a growth managed
unmitigatable impact in the plan, and so I hope I'm not being overly tedious or boring people who already understand this, but for my purposes, this is an opportunity, I think, for us and members of the public to really get a handle on how this works. What does it mean when you say, okay, I think we all understand the Cambria, the services district, they provide the water, they've got the list, they're working through it, we know how many people are on it. But the county has this other list, and we've heard people for years come in and complain that they're on the county's list, and when are they going to get water? And you're saying it's not a water serve list, it's a growth management list. What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
Okay. The county has adopted a growth management ordinance that regulates the number of units that are available every year to be able to come in to apply for building permits. In areas that are able to go forward to build, they do that at the point that they are ready to go forward with a full set of plans, all of their approvals in place, and they're ready to submit their building permits. For places that have resource constraints, Los Osos, Cayucos, Cambria, Those folks have elected to get on our list, the growth management list, so that at the point when the resources become available, they are first in line or third in line to be selected as one of the growth management spots or reservations for that year.
I guess I'm having trouble understanding, because the county didn't start that list until the services district closed their list. Is that correct?
I believe we started the list in 1990 when we actually adopted the growth management ordinance.
Had the CSD, Cambria Services District, closed their list at that point?
Pat, do we know? Do you recollect at what point they closed their list?
Joan, you've had planning staff. You did. In case it,
stumped on that one.
The CCSD is here today, and they could perhaps at some point provide some detail.
Okay. And so at the point when the resources become available, when and if they become available, wouldn't the CSD just assume the county's list? Because they are the water purveyors. So, I mean,
That would be a question for the CSD. I guess I would also just say that even the folks who have a valid will serve letter from the Cambria CSD also need an allocation reservation from the county. So it's a twofold.
So if I bought my lot in Cambria 30 years ago and I happen to be number one now on the Cambria Services District list, but I'm not on the county's growth management list for Cambria, I get a will serve letter from the services district. They say, you know, we have the water to serve you. You can go ahead and build your house. Can I build my house?
Yes. You would come in and get an allocation from the county to go forward to build.
Okay. So that allocation really doesn't have anything to do with the people who are on your growth management list for Cambria. It's not like the allocations go to them first.
The allocations would go to the people who currently are able to get will serve letters,
letters.
They are counted as part of the annual growth limit for the county.
You're accounted for. Okay.
But wait a minute. Going back to her example, she's number one on the Cambria's list, but she never bothered to go down to the county, so now she gets this letter, wahoo, I got water. She shows up at the front counter, and what are you going to tell her?
Then we have them apply for the allocation, and they are immediately selected because they're able to go forward to build.
So I get bumped up in front of all those 300-and-something people that are on your...
So what's the point in having a county list, then?
Right. It's the people's choice to be on a list so that when resources become available, that they are in a priority order.
So you're assuming, wahoo, they find a big bucket of water out there, and they, well, we can do 1,000 permits, no problem.
Right.
And so that wouldn't fly because we got the 1% growth limit, and therefore the county would only issue so many of those permits.
The county would have to limit how many permits got issued every year, but the Cambria list is accumulating each year that they are under moratorium as well.
Was the county under some kind of legal obligation to start that list?
I'd defer to county council.
No, I don't think so.
Because it seems like it's just created headaches and problems for the people on the list and the county and the CSD. I mean, it seems like it, you know, might have been, you know, well-intended at the time, or, you know, maybe wildly optimistic, depending on your perspective. But now we have this list of people who have a level of expectation because their name is on this list. And, you know, they think that means something. And it just seems problematic for the county to be maintaining a list that was started so far in advance of, for, you know, far out into the planning horizon by the fact that the, you know, CSD list is going to take so long to work through.
But
I guess it's
going back to your example where you're number one on their list, but you're not on the county's list, and wahoo, they got these 1,000 units of water, and they call you up and say, you can have your will serve letter now. As they send out the other whole bunch, and then we all show up at the county wanting our permit, as do you, but you're going to have to wait because you're not on the county's list. I, who got on both lists, so I'm going to be able to build, providing I'm early on the county's list, and you're going to have to wait.
So I get, right, I guess the example is you were lucky enough to be number one on the county's list in 1990, and you've owned your lot since 1990, and maybe I just rolled into town yesterday and bought a lot, and so that puts you ahead of me, assuming the other people on the services district ever get, services district list ever get served. Is
That's the way I understand.
Okay. Okay. Well, and so how is the county dealing with this sort of seething animosity of the people that are on the county's list that don't seem to get that?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. What we try to do is explain that it's a growth management list and not a water list, and that we try to direct people to the Cambria Community Services District staff to answer questions about timing of availability of water, any kind of things that are in the works for provision of water. It's a difficult position because we aren't the water provider.
Right. Would there be any benefit, or has there been any discussion, and I don't even know if it would be a good thing or a bad thing, but has the county ever talked, I mean, I guess I asked you this question earlier, but this is another way to ask it. Has the county had any discussions with the services district about whether or not they would be interested in just tacking those 300 and something people on below their 600 and something people and just making it one list and taking care of it that way?
My understanding is that the intent was to keep the list separate, but if there is a member of the CCSD staff here, they may be able to answer that more completely.
I'm just curious. I mean, it just from somebody who doesn't really have an opinion one way or the other, it seems to make sense. Is there? I'd be interested in whether the services district thinks that's a good thing or a bad thing. Or
hi, Pat Beck, County Planning. I can say that we've had many years of discussion with the services district at various points in time
about that specific
about. What their process is and how much water they're looking for, how it relates to the people who weren't on their list at the point that it was closed and what would happen for them in the future. Since we don't provide that service,
right,
all we've established is, for purposes of growth management, an order in which the county would allow properties to develop if and when they ever have the resources to serve them. Separately, the community has been having a discussion about how large it feels it
right.
can grow to, how much resources it has available or is willing to go after, and that has implications back to the people that are on the county's list, but we continue to have discussions with them periodically.
But could the county's growth management needs be met by working with the CSD in terms of how many water will serve letters they issue in a year? I mean, if your growth management says, you know, 20 new residences in Cambria, whatever the 1% growth rate works out to be, I mean, you could take those names, the first 20 names off the CSD's list just as well as any other list, right? I mean,
well, and in fact, we take the first number of at the present, there's a moratorium, so
right.
there's nobody other than grandfathered permits that are actually able to go forward. But at the point at which they're able to again allow, they inform the top 20 people or 35 people, whatever the growth rate is set at, and they get a well-served letter and come to the county, and we give them an allocation.
Sure.
They all go first. When in 1990, when the ordinance was adopted, there was a waiting list of over 20 years at the growth rate that was adopted. Everybody acknowledged that, recognized the order in which people had come in needed to be prioritized. That still left people who weren't on that list, hadn't bought the property yet, hadn't decided to apply because they weren't ready to go, anticipated they'd buy a different property, whatever reason.
You can get on the county's list without even owning a piece of property in Cambria?
No. I'm saying I might have come in and bought a piece of property 2 years after the county established growth management. I didn't have a chance to get on their
right.
CCSD list.
Right.
The only place for me and a decision, and then that's something that we have to factor in.
Okay. I'm interested in just hearing the CSD's perspective about the issue of combining the lists. Good thing, bad thing, jury's out. What do you think?
Okay.
Tammy Rudock, General Manager, Cambria Community Services District. At this point, staff's direction with regard to planning for a future water supply in order to try to open up the list, the district's list, is to cap the current or the potential growth at 4,650. You know, so what the board did is they said that that takes into consideration the district's list. That did not take into consideration the folks who are on the county's list.
But if build-out is 4,760 and you've got 600 and something on your list, you've got a lot more room on your...
4,650.
4,000.
650. You said 4,760.
Okay. 4,650.
And that's a policy decision. I'm not prepared to give an answer on that. I mean, of course, the board of directors would have to meet if they were to be considering the county's list or tacking it on to the district list at this time. There's no plans to do that.
And has the services district ever talked about that? Is
Sure.
it something that's come up?
I mean, we've had communications with the county about that list. We get the phone calls from the folks who are on that list and who are disgruntled because they think they're never going to be building in Cambria.
Sure.
And the reality is there's a potential for that.
Right.
Depends on what the future wills are of the board of directors.
Well, and I'm just, do you think it's possible that that Cambria could cap out with the existing number of people that are on your frozen list, which is, what, 600 and something?
And I'm not in a position to answer that question. That would be a very good question for our policymakers. Right now, the plans for water supply and our lot reduction, our build-out reduction, is for 4,650.
Okay, I get that. I just want to make it clear. I'm not trying to drive more development in Cambria or make water available to, you know, people when the, you know, water that doesn't exist. I mean, I'm not trying to make that wedge. It's just, you know, in the process of doing this plan update, water is the big issue, and this whole thing about two lists, I mean, ever since when I worked for the former supervisor, it's been an issue. And if there's an opportunity to take care of that problem in this plan, I would love for us to address it. So maybe the services district board of directors wants to have a conversation about whether that's a good policy call. It seems to me, bad as I am at math, that you've got 600 and something on your list now. The county has 300 and something on its list now. Add it all up and it comes to around 1,000. Your build out is 4,650. So there's a big gap there. It seems like you could combine the lists, make them one list, and still be far, far, far below what your target build out is.
Well, our current customer base is 3,900. And if you add the 665 customers to that, there's going to be very little room for movement.
Oh, I see.
That's how we came to that number, or how our board of directors did. So it's not that we're going to have a whole bunch of intent to serve letters available for outside customers outside the district's wait list.
Okay. So you've got 3,900 residents now, 600 and something on your will serve letter. That's going
to bring
you very
close. Very close to the 4,650.
Okay,
that was the intent.
Okay. Okay, thank you for that.
Hi. We've, at the study session and at the last hearing, we went through a general introduction of all the chapters. Chapter 1, the comments on Chapter 1 in general included proposed changes to the goals and some slight modifications. Because the goals in Chapter 1 were developed through extensive community work, staff does not recommend any changes to the goals in Chapter 1. And that concludes my presentation on Chapter 1, but I'm open for questions.
Okay, and to let's just talk for a moment about, you know, what we plan to do today. I think we originally planned to do chapters 1 through 4 last time, but we got a little held up. And so I'm going to presume that's our schedule for today, chapters 1 through 4, and staff is prepared for that. We've had public comment on the plan in general, and I have several speaker slips. And what I plan to do, if the rest of the commission agrees, is at the beginning of these things to... It's not time for public comment yet, sir.
I was going to make a comment on this.
It's not time for public comment yet, sir. I'll call you when it's time. Thank you.
Mr. Rose, just before we go any further, I just want to clarify. One through four is what we have all studied and been prepared to discuss. This is agendized for 150 minutes from
the... Like today, assuming we got all... And I agree with you, we should end at 11:15. Mm-hmm. And then we have a couple other hearing items that I'm sure will take some time. And we'll take our noon break and come back at 1:30. So you can make your own estimate how long that'll take. But anyway, to the public, they could have the opportunity to speak, like today in general, and I know there's at least one person who wants to talk about the water business. And so I'd go through all the speaker slips, let the general comments out, and then we'd launch into chapter one, then two, then three.
That's fine. I would think, especially since we're also receiving copies of each of these, so at the end we can kind of, you know, remember everything. If people, I can listen to people speak on multiple chapters. I mean, they can make their points. So I guess I would encourage people to speak once to us today. Mm-hmm. But, you know, make their points on the various chapters, because it gets confusing for the public.
My only concern is if somebody gets up and speaks now on something that's on chapter four and we only get through chapter two, I mean, I guess it's okay for them to speak about something that we...
That's fine. If we'd stop speaking, we might make 11:15.
I've noticed that I'm no longer Doreen, so could you make me Bob? Thank you for somebody noticing that. Okay, so... Now's the time for the... I'll open the public comment for people who want to make a general comment. Again, you'll have the opportunity today to speak to chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, assuming we get that far. And I have several speaker slips, and we will hold you to 3 minutes. The hook comes out. There's lights on your... above us. We don't have that. Well, on your TV screen at the monitor, there's a little light... Up here is a little light that's now presently red, and it turns green when you start speaking, yellow at the end of 2 minutes, it's time to wrap up, and at the end of three, the red light comes on and the hook comes out. So the first, and I'll go through these names. If you don't wish to speak generally, that's fine. I'll save you for chapter one, and then I'll save you for chapter two. So Wayne Parak. Wait, okay. Daryl Robinson.
I do have a couple of general comments. My real purpose of coming here today was on Chapter 2, so I'm going to reserve the right to understand the decision there to speak again. The general comment is...
State your name, please. State your name, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Daryl Robinson, and I'm from Huntington Beach, California, and I am president of United Lot Owners of Cambria. And one general comment is in respect to the last discussion that you had on the wait lists. I think the key document to look at there, if you want to know more about that, is the Growth Management Ordinance. And there is some language in there that explains what's going on. The CCSD list predated the Growth Management Ordinance. So when that ordinance was passed, county had to figure out how to deal with the CCSD's list. So what they did was adopted it as the permit allocation list in addition to being the water wait list, but then said it's going to be frozen now and sunsetted so that when it's filled, then the county will assume the full responsibility for managing any over demand. And that's why it gets a little bit confusing. A lot of people think, is it a water list or a wait list? Well, there's really one list for permit allocations. It starts with number one in the CCSD list, and then it flows through the county list once the CCSD is sunsetted or once it's completely filled. But then there's only one water list, and that is the CCSD, and they will always control when the water is issued. The other general comment is that we've submitted a letter dated July 5th. I submitted it on behalf of United Lot Owners of Cambria, and there are numerous issues addressed in their comments and suggestions and requests that we have relative to the overall plan. And I would urge you all, request that you all read our letter and ask that you take our concerns into consideration, and I'll address those more specifically later. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker is Mary Galletti. Again, you'll have an opportunity to come back for 1, 2, 3, and 4, and this, I presume, is general stuff.
Good morning, members of the commission. My name is Mary Giacoletti, and I'm from San Simeon. I'm representing a number of San Simeon residents who can't make it here today. We're all concerned about the plan for San Simeon, and I don't know what chapter it is. We're afraid it might be Chapter 11. But there seems to be a kind of a dissonance between the county's idea of growth and housing allocations or the county growth standards. And I think it's 2.3 for the county. I think we have a growth moratorium in San Simeon. So, but we don't, obviously, that's not being adhered to. So what the Planning Commission, or what the county, and I'm not sure if it's just purely the Planning Commission, is doing to San Simeon is a kind of an inverse condemnation, which is a term used when a city is increased disproportionately to the resources, and then you get increased traffic, get infrastructure that's deteriorating, you get increased crime, you get noise, you just have limited resources to accommodate that. Now, according to the plan and a comment from somebody else in the community, they asked me to comment on this. The plan is that San Simeon should be 75% devoted to tourist-serving entities and 25% devoted to low-income housing. And we're wondering what the definition of low-income housing is. There are residents who've been in San Simeon for years. They don't consider themselves to be residing in low-income housing. We have a situation with an inn, a motel that was converted to...
And here comes the hook.
Okay, and quickly, the motel that has been converted has been the scene of drug arrests. They've closed off the tennis courts because of drug arrests. The units are being used as living quarters.
And thank you very much.
Thank you.
I actually have a question for...
Okay.
Mary, is it?
Yes.
Mary, when you say the hotel was converted, was that something that was done as part of a public process? Did the county issue a permit for that conversion, or is it something that the motel owners just did?
They just did it kind of in degrees. I don't think there was any planning oversight on that.
Okay.
And what I did want to say that our sewer system is outdated and in trouble, and cooking oil is being poured down toilets because there's no other recourse for the people who are living in these.
Is that, do you know, is that like a month-to-month or week to?
And your plan is to have more monthly rentals. That's where we're concerned.
My question to staff, then, under the current LCP, is there, do we have anything that provides for that kind of conversion? Is there a, is this a, you know, potential code enforcement question, or is it something that just isn't addressed in the LCP? Well, if a motel owner wants to make a conversion?
Without knowing the specifics of the situation, we can't say whether it is a code enforcement issue or not. What you could do is contact our code enforcement division, and they'd be happy to go and check out the situation and make sure that...
So, I mean, but let's just for the sake of discussion, let's assume that Mary's testimony is accurate. If there has been a motel conversion from overnight visitor serving to month-to-month tenancy, would that be a violation? Do we, you know, do we have a process for doing that? Would that be a... is there a policy in the LCP that speaks to that, or a standard, or
code enforcement has been contacted a number of times, and they say that they have no grounds for saying anything or doing anything.
Okay.
Which is our biggest complaint is okay. We have no recourse to do anything about our community.
So is what you're asking the commission to consider during this update process is policies that would speak to the question specifically of motel
more,
conversions.
Yeah, more motel conversions, and what is a low-income housing? If 75% of the plan is for tourist serving and 25% of your plan is for low-income housing, where does that put the people who are living there, and where is the water going to come from?
Well, affordable housing is actually defined in the housing element and elsewhere in the general plan, and I don't think that anybody's anticipating that people who don't fit that model have to then leave San Simeon.
They don't get any water.
But I think it would be helpful, and again, I haven't gotten past Chapter 4, so maybe this specific thing is addressed, you know, beyond Chapter 4, but if we could include some, you know, either a standard or a policy for how, procedure for how motel conversions take place, or a prohibition against them if we think that's appropriate, or so it doesn't just like happen without any oversight or public participation. Is that addressed anywhere in the update?
Well, I think we can discuss that more when we get to Chapter 7, which is...
Joy Fitch, too. We got Chapters 1 through 3, and I'll call you when we get to Chapter 1, 2, and 3. Richard Youngman, change in land use designation, track 226. I believe, Martha, correct me if I'm wrong, that best time to speak to that would be Chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you come back for Chapter 7, Mr.? Oh, we don't know when that would be. If we can get through Chapters 1 through 4 today, we're not going to do it today. 2 or 3 meetings from now, I would expect. And Chapter 7 is really where the rubber meets the road. Okay. Daryl Robinson, he's got Chapter 2, anticipated growth weight. We'll call you then. And Chris Gupta, you have Cambria. You ready for Chapter 1 or 2? And then we have a Chapter 3. Okay.
Okay, before we move into Chapter 1, I need to respond to a public comment that was made at our previous meeting before we move into deliberations on the plan. And the comment that I need to respond to was... public comment from the representative of the Cambria Community Services District that I have a conflict of interest and inappropriate bias and should step down from these proceedings because of my work for the Coastal Commission. And I just want to clarify for the record that the lawsuit that was referenced in that public comment is a lawsuit that was brought by the Services District against the Coastal Commission, which is the agency that I work for. And it in no way prejudices my my analysis or my actions or my comments on this plan. I have no financial interest in any real estate or programs or anything in the planning area, so there's no conflict of interest there. And nothing involving that lawsuit has, which, by the way, has been decided by the judge and is essentially case closed. Nothing involving that lawsuit pertains to anything in this plan, so I don't believe that that earlier testimony is valid, and I bring no prejudice or preconceived ideas to the discussions today. So that's for the record.
Got it. Thank you.
Chapter 1, the comments received are basically revisions or modifications to the goals in that chapter. Again, those goals were developed through extensive work with the community, and so staff does not recommend any changes to the goals or have any other recommendations to changes in Chapter 1.
Commissioner Rose, are we going to go through this sort of page by page? Is that the way we're going to? Because
I would think so. That would seem like the best way.
Okay.
Ms. Rappa, would you agree to that?
That's fine. Perhaps Martha could help members of the community who've come today by putting the. Do you have those? Can you put them on the overhead? I fear we've made this very complicated for people by separating things out and telling them to come back at an unknown date, at an unknown time. So, maybe we can put those up, kind of go through them. I mean, we have them in front of us, but not everyone has carried these voluminous books with them.
You want the
pages.
The cover?
Yeah.
Or
the pages that we're discussing.
The pages that we're discussing. Do you think that would be helpful, Bob?
Well, that's 17 different pages.
Well, we can go through them rather quickly.
Okay.
Just everybody sees them.
Yeah.
And are there any extra copies of the draft, public hearing draft? John Ufant?
Yes, we do. And give me just a moment.
So we have some in the back of the room so people could
thumb through. I thought we did, but Mr. Hofschuer, I'd have to double-check. I thought he brought some over. Let's just get our overhead squared away here.
Okay. And just while we're having dead air here, Chapter 1 is the introduction and general goals. And we have, introduction is pretty darn brief. General goals. We start with the section provides the direction of the communities of Cambria and San Simeon Acres, and these general goals and other parts of the land use element and the LCP provide the basic plan for the next 20 years. And we have goals for environment, orderly development, distribution of land uses, location of...
Just that I'd like to discuss, so...
Okay, would you like to do them before or after public comment on...
Didn't we just do public comment?
Not on Chapter 1.
Okay.
And going after the goals, then we have the relationship of the North Coast Area Plan to the local coastal program.
And that's something that we need.
And I know we had at least one email of someone who wanted some clarification on that. So when we get there, I would hope that staff could do that. I know you have this nice little chart on page 117 that I'm sure needs some explanation when we get there.
If there is public comment on Chapter 1, I'd like to hear it before we start our discussion. So I thought we did that, but I guess we didn't.
No, we didn't.
Okay,
so I'm going through my speaker slips. If you wish to comment on Chapter 1, which again is goals, relationship of the North Coast Area Plan to the local coastal program, and that's it. Okay, so Wayne Park... Okay, Daryl Robinson, Mary, don't make me pronounce your last name.
I just gave you an
answer. Okay, Will Washburn.
Daryl Robinson, I gave you one for Chapter 1.
He wants to speak on it.
I'm getting there. Will Washburn, Joy Fitchdew, yes. Chapter 1. Daryl, we'll get to you. Okay, just sit down.
Joy Fitzhugh, San Luis Obispo County Farm Bureau, and thank you for letting me speak. And as I said at the prior meeting, it probably looks a little strange to have agriculture talking in a community update. But again, how goes the community often affects the surrounding area. And so actually relating to page 1-4, I want to give kudos to the staff and the county because the policy and the goal is to protect agricultural land for production. And I hope, as you will see when I'll pass this out because it relates more to chapters 3, that you will remember agriculture as you continue to go through this document because that is one of the goals, is to protect our continued agricultural production. Thank you.
Thank you. Next one, Richard Youngman, and again, he was on track 226. So we're just talking chapter 1 goals now. All right. Daryl Robinson. This will work. We'll get there.
Thank you. Sorry about the confusion. I just wanted to express support for Section 14, Property Rights. It says, recognize and protect individual property rights by seeking to maintain a balance between the rights of property owners and efforts to plan for the community, not taking property without just compensation. And those are goals that Unlock United Lot Owners of Cambria strongly supports, and we're concerned that some things later on in this plan violate those goals, and we'd like to make sure that they're kept in mind as you go through the rest of the plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris Gupta, again, we're talking Chapter 1, I'll call you for chapter 2, 3, and 4. Bob Greason. Again, this is chapter 1, goals. Okay, that concludes public comment. Anyone else want to dash up and say something on chapter 1? And I got it. Okay.
Thank you.
I think I do.
My name is Richard Sadowski, Central Coast Outfall Group. And with regards to hearing number 1 in Cambria, I would like to know if the Planning Commission had an environmental impact report on the water storage facility that was put in underneath the football field at the Cambria High School. It was put in there by R. Baker Construction, so I'd like to know if that was evaluated in the event of an earthquake, like they had damage in Cayucas at the San Simeon earthquake with their infrastructure. FEMA was notified on that as well. So there's a little bit of concern with the event of a slide or something in the event of that storage facility leaking, because to my understanding, I think it's a substandard water storage facility underneath that football field. Thank you.
And this is a water storage facility for whom?
It's in Cambria High School underneath the football field.
But is it the services district, or is it the high schools, or a private property?
The location of the storage facilities underneath the football field at the Cambria High School that's being built right next to Alden Road or whatever.
The school that's currently being built, I believe, is an elementary school. The high school is up Santa Rosa Creek Road.
Okay, I think it's the high school.
You're talking about the new school.
The new school underneath the football field. I'm just wondering if their environmental impact report was given for the underground water storage facility there.
And we'll have staff answer that after public comment.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Chapter 1, going once, twice, concluding the public comment for Chapter 1. John, we have a question for you. Do you know anything about this water storage facility underneath the...
I think Ms. Nieder might be familiar with it. She worked...
This, for the public, is... the goal is to maintain and protect a living environment that is safe, healthful, and pleasant for all residents by... And then A says, assuring the protection of coastal resources such as wetlands, coastal streams, forests, marine habitat, and threatened and endangered species. And I would suggest that we don't... just need to protect the habitat for the threatened and endangered species. The Coastal Act doesn't make a distinction necessarily between native wildlife and threatened and endangered wildlife. And as we know, you know, today's non-threatened species can be tomorrow's endangered species. And so I would suggest inserting the words and wildlife, including threatened and endangered species.
Staff response?
It's fine with staff.
Okay. Moving on.
You have consensus on that.
Hey.
You won already.
We're off to a great start. On number C, balancing the capacity for growth allowed by the plan with the sustained availability of resource. I'm not really clear what that means, the sustained availability of resources. Does staff have a clarification for that?
Well, I believe the intent behind that is to allow growth only as we're able to have resources both now and in the future, so that we're not... using up all the resources that they are sustained for the future
generation.
So
to make that read a little more clearly, maybe we could either say balancing the capacity for growth allowed by the plan with the natural constraints of local resources.
It's up to your commission.
I've got a problem with that because that assumes, at least the way I see it, that you then couldn't bring in water from elsewhere. Natural constraints means, to me, it means what that area has. And I believe the community is pretty much getting by with that. But maybe they want to bring in state water, they want to bring in Nacimiento, maybe they want desal. All those things, somebody might say, well,
okay,
that's not natural.
So, and that would probably apply to desal as well. Somebody could make that argument.
Right.
So then perhaps we could say balancing the capacity for growth allowed by the plan with environmentally sustainable use of the resources. Because sustainability, I mean, or sustained availability, you know, you could suck the creek dry. It's sustainable in terms of your need to use it.
But that would conflict with the very first one.
Right.
That wouldn't assure the protection of coastal streams. But
right.
So I think we got that covered.
Well, I don't. I think it's beneficial to have the language be consistent and unambiguous. And sustained availability of resources is the kind of ambiguous language I think it would be good to get away from.
So I don't see it that way. So, Ms. Rappa, you're the tiebreaker.
Well, I don't see it as ambiguous either. I think that it's saying that that the availability of resources needs to be sustained, that it isn't a one-time thing or it isn't something that we'll look at, you know.
Okay, you lost on that one.
Well, I'm going to talk about it a little more because it's going to come up again. You know, the word sustainable has sort of been co-opted to the point that it's become almost meaningless because you can talk about something being environmentally sustainable. You can talk about something being economically sustainable. It's sort of like smart growth. It means whatever people want it to mean. It means what it means in their own heads. And unless you are clear about what you want it to mean, it's the kind of wiggle language that's, you know, becomes, you know, problematic. So, I mean, I get that you're both confident that this language means that the resources won't be used beyond their capacity to replenish themselves. So I don't really see what the objection is to making that clear in the document by saying environmentally sustainable capacity or availability of the resources. I mean, it's just
I'm still happy with what the various advisor groups and the long process that got us here developed those. I'm happy with it. Don't see a need to change.
Well, again, we know it's gone through a lot of public hearings and a lot of participation at the advisory council level, etc. But, you know, we're bringing another level of review to the plan. And you know, we have the ability to actually make the change, the words avoid or mitigate to the maximum extent feasible.
Staff?
You know, it's up to your commission if you want to make those changes.
Okay, when I refer to you, I'm relying on your collective memory to maybe there was some long discussion somewhere and somebody's adamant about wording it a certain way. So that's part of why I'm calling
okay.
on you.
Right. Yeah.
Ms. Rappa?
I think it's the same thing. I don't think mitigate is necessarily after the fact. I think there are opportunities through best methods, which will continually change and be upgraded, to offer alternatives, and they may be considered mitigations.
Well, mitigations, as I understand them, is like you mitigate for the removal of oak trees by planting more oak trees than you remove, or you mitigate for the, you know, water quality impacts by installing vegetated berms. I mean, you do things to compensate for the damage that's being caused. And, you know, elsewhere in this document and other documents, we see avoidance and mitigation as two separate pieces. And so, again, remembering that the standard of review being the Coastal Act, which is all about protecting coastal resources, I think it's more protective of the resource to say avoid or mitigate to the maximum extent feasible.
I could agree with you on that one. So Ms. Rappo said
that's fine.
Fine, okay.
Thanks.
So you got 3 out of 3, but okay. don't be counting your chickens.
Moving on. Moving on to E, talks about preserving and protecting air quality, which I think is a laudable goal, but it leads to the question, what about having the same language also referring to water quality? Since we go back to the goal here is to maintain and protect a living environment that is safe, healthful, etc. well, clean air and clean water are sort of like peanut butter and jelly. So could we add another subsection there that says preserving and protecting water quality?
The commission can. I think that that there's these goals and these subsets, not because what's not mentioned isn't important, but air quality was felt that for whatever reason people wanted it specifically written in there, but the overall goal is maintaining and protecting a living environment. So anything that falls under that, I think, is acceptable.
Right. So I think water quality would fall under that. I mean, it's not that anything that's not in that section, I agree with you, isn't going to be protected. But if these are the things that are important enough to call out, I think water quality is certainly every bit as important as air quality.
And the commission can add that.
Okay. No objections to adding water quality?
Ms. Rappa?
No, I have no objections.
Okay.
Ditto.
Okay.
And you're winning. Don't.
So that would then become F, and F would become G? And staff would just update the language too. Is that what we're suggesting?
Jonathan Fratt, planning staff. I mean, you could just add it. I realize the subsequent part of that sentence refers only to air quality, but you could just say preserve and protect water quality and the air quality by seeking to attain, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, except you've got state and federal ambient air quality, and you'll have
right.
different language.
I think it would be better to have a separate
bullet.
Yeah,
bullet,
otherwise it's going to get really long. Yeah.
Okay.
So F becomes E and
right.
a new E or F or whatever.
Right.
Okay, moving on to number 2, orderly development, that says provide for a sustainable rate of orderly development. I'm going to put my plug in for environmentally sustainable because, again, that's what we're trying to protect here is the environment, not the, you know, building industry's ability to sustain itself or, you know, the economic sustainability. I mean,
where's this word going to go?
Orderly development. Provide for an environmentally sustainable rate of orderly development.
And actually, on that one, I don't know that the intent was it for just to be environmentally. I think the intent was sustainable, both economically, environmentally, and quality of life.
Well, again, going back to the standard of review being the Coastal Act. Actually, you know, you could say economically and environmentally.
I think the intent from writing these was just a sustainable kind of all-encompassing. I don't know that it was specific, but your commission, of course, can add language.
Ms. Rappa, I don't care one way or the other.
Well, I'm shocked, Bob.
Yeah,
protecting certain resources or, for instance, there's the water master plan and there's different baseline studies, so they're more specific in meeting this general goal.
For developing and maintaining the information. And those, the requirements for water master plan, et cetera, they're further on in the document?
Right.
Okay. I was just kind of wanting to flag them so I knew where they were, but sounds like we'll get to them. And then under D, again, this is under orderly development. This is how we're going to provide for the economically and environmentally sustainably rated development. D says, providing the lead time necessary to fund and implement the public services necessary to support population growth, et cetera. I'm not sure what that means. How is the plan going to provide lead time for funding and implementation? How is that going to happen from an implementation standpoint?
I think one specific way is the growth rate, and that basically by managing growth and giving time for the resources or for the public services to be online with growth.
Does that go to the funding issue?
Well, funding, there's a time that needs to be taken in order to get the funding. Funding is not instant. So, for example, if you have a lot of development happening today, but grant funding is going to take a couple years, by having that growth rate, you're spacing out the time for the growth so that you can amass the funds to provide for the services.
Okay. That's. Thank you for that. I just wasn't sure, but that clarifies that. Number three is distribution of land uses. The goal here is to encourage an urban environment that's an orderly arrangement of buildings, improvements, and open space appropriate to the size and scale of the community. And then A goes, the first way we're going to accomplish that goal is by maintaining a clear distinction between urban and rural scale development. I'm not sure, what does rural scale development mean?
I think the intent is basically having the hard edge between urban development and rural development and not having the sprawl of suburban development.
That's what I hoped you were going to say. Then I would suggest we scratch the word scale and just say maintaining a clear distinction between urban and rural development, because rural scale, I was a little concerned that, you know, urban scale would be like small, tightly compact houses, and rural scale would be like big, sprawling McMansions. And so, you know, you have a big piece of property, so you can build a great big house.
Big ranches.
Right. So, but the ranch itself is not the development. So, because it created an ambiguity in my mind, I thought it might create ambiguity in others. And if what you're saying is going to that hard edge idea, it might be a little more clear if we struck the word scale.
Okay by me.
It's fine with me.
Great.
Next.
And B is ensuring the protection of agricultural land containing both prime and non-prime soils. And I think, you know, we've had a lot of discussions over the last several months about how and if we're actually protecting agricultural lands. And I'd like to go a little bit farther and not just protect the agricultural land, but protect the continued long-term viability of agricultural land. Because I'll just leave it at that. I just think I'd like to go the extra mile and protect the continued long-term viability of agricultural land.
I'm happy with what's there.
Well, I think long-term viability is what we hope to gain through all this. I have no problem with that.
Great.
Being changed.
Okay. Two out of three.
Then location and timing of urban development. And the way we're going to accomplish this goal is we're going to plan for a land use pattern and population distribution that's consistent with the ability of communities to provide and maintain necessary services and facilities. A is encouraging the phasing of urban development in a compact manner and maintaining the hard edge on the perimeter of Cambria and San Simeon Acres. We all know what a hard edge is, but my mother has been admonishing me for preserve those resources. And so I would like to add the word urbanized so that the transfers are happening to urbanized areas more appropriate for development.
I don't want to paint ourselves into
urban
a box. I would agree with that. It's a great idea, but I don't know every single piece of land in this county, and there may be some reason to do it someday. I can't imagine what it was, but I don't want to paint myself into a box or future.
Well, that was actually one of the recommendations out of the periodic review that the county I can look up the actual language, but that we update the TDC program in Cambria, and it's something that the Coastal Commission has, you know, looked at and identified as an area that needs work. And so I think, you know, in response to that, it would be good for us to note that that's what the TDC program was designed to do, and that's the goal and should be the goal.
And the TDC program in Cambria only allows development credits to be transferred to urban areas, and specifically the two areas shown in Chapter 7, Fern Canyon and Special Projects areas. So Cambria TDC program is just for the urban.
So it's already limited to that.
Right.
So adding urban would just be clarifying the existing standards within the TDC program.
Well, and that's the TDC program for Cambria.
Right.
And this is general goes for Cambria and San Simeon.
Right.
San Simeon doesn't have a TDC.
How about instead of more appropriate, they're already identified.
Okay.
I mean, that's really what we're saying here, to hazard to areas
identified
for development. Because that's what makes this plan work, is that they have accepted receiving sites.
So do we want to say identified in the TDC program for development?
Doesn't matter. I mean, they're identified. They're not more. They are more appropriate, but they're also already there.
Okay.
Sure. Works for me. Next.
Sorry, areas identified for development?
Well, you could have an area that was identified for development in that, you know, it has potential to be subdivided. So I would...
Identified in the TDC program?
That's fine. Yeah, because those are the areas you mentioned.
Okay, next.
Sure. Number 5 is location and timing of development within Cambria. And A is first, so I'm assuming this means the first development that should happen within Cambria is infill development from the CCSD water waiting list. Is it in conflict with anything if we add the phrase within the urban services line to that, to A? So we've got infill development from the water waiting list within the urban services line? Does that conflict with anything anywhere else?
I think it conflicts with the CCSD's water waiting list. They control that. We should just let them control it.
Well, again, we're the land use. They're the water purveyors, but we're the land use planning body. So if we're talking about maximizing development in Cambria before we go start building in the rural fringe.
Well, infill isn't rural fringe.
Well, infill is one of those words that gets used by whoever wants to use it. I know East West Ranch was characterized as infill development by the developers who wanted to build out there. So,
well, and when you're talking of location and timing of development within Cambria, if you're within Cambria, you're within the Cambria urban reserve line, so by default.
You know, I'm really happy with there are 4, A, B, C, and D, and actually if we could change our overhead just a little bit, we'd get the full picture. They really sort of explain the location and timing of development within Cambria.
Well, the reason I bring the issue up is because in the commission's periodic review of the county's implementation of the LCP, they did find that the services district was providing water outside the URL. And they flagged that as being problematic. And so, again, it's just one more way that we can address an issue that we know is going to come up when it gets to the Coastal Commission anyway. It's, you know, kind of doing the work up front as opposed to having it done at the back end.
And I guess I would just add, again, these are goals for Cambria and San Simeon Acres. They don't apply outside the Cambria URL.
And so, it's an issue that's been identified by the Coastal Commission. It's going to come up when they review the plan. It just seems to me that, you know, we can deal with it now or we can have them deal with it later. So,
I'm happy with the way things are.
I am too.
Okay.
Okay, and with that, we're at almost break time here.
Oh, okay.
So can we take a 15-minute break? And I would ask you please to come back exactly at 10:30 because I want to bang the gavel and get going.
Mr. Chair, just one quick comment for members of the public that have been waiting, and I know there was one gentleman over here that was interested in subsequent chapters that it's quite clear we will not get to today, such as Chapter 7. I'll note that the Commission's next meeting is on July 28th. And at this rate, it's not likely we'll get to Chapter 7, but it's possible. You'd be surprised.
Highly unlikely.
The goals are important. They're an important part of the document. And so my suggestion is that you contact staff, say, a week before, and you can do that by calling Martha directly at 781-4576, or myself. That's 781-4576, or myself, John Euphrat, at 781-5194. Or check the department's webpage as well, because that's where the agenda for the next meeting will be, and we'll probably try and highlight what will be covered. And that's at slowplanning.org, slowplanning.org under County Planning Commission. Thank you.
Okay, and you also got the opportunity during this 50-minute break, you could give your card to
that's
the staff and say, please call me when you get to here or there. And with that, we're adjourned. Be back at 10:30. Thank you.